In today's Tafsir, you will learn about the humiliating punishment of those who choose to go beyond God's limits and how Islamic safety nets safeguard your family's dignity long after you're gone. Let's jump right in. Session 553, Chapter 4, Verse 14. But he who disobeys God and his messenger and oversteps his limits will be consigned to the fire forever, and there he will stay. A humiliating torment awaits him. Chapter 4, verse 14. In the previous session, we explained that the boundaries set by God encompass both commands and prohibitions, and whoever respects them will earn the reward of blissful gardens and the ultimate victory. God says, "These are the bounds set by God. God will admit whoever obeys him and his messengers into gardens with rivers flowing from under them, remaining in them timelessly forever. That is the great victory." Chapter 4, verse 13. But what about those who choose to disobey? Their fate must be the opposite. God says, "But he who disobeys God and his messenger and oversteps his limits will be consigned to the fire." Let's compare and contrast Ayat 13 and 14 of Surah An-Nisa. We start with the word fire. Note how it is mentioned in the singular, while gardens is plural. You should always pay close attention to the words of the Quran because the speaker is Allah, the All-Wise. Believers in the gardens of Eden enjoy the company of their family and friends as they reunite with their righteous descendants, increasing their joy as illustrated in the following verse. Those who have believed and their offspring have followed them in faith. We will unite them with their offspring, and we will not decrease the reward of their deeds in anything. Every person is bound by what he has earned. Chapter 52, verse 21. So if you are a righteous person in the high levels of heaven, Allah will bless you with your family's company. Why? Because life is far more joyous with friends. Even if they are not as righteous as you are, Allah will raise them in reward. The phrase, "we will not decrease the rewards of their deeds in anything," should clue you into the fact that God will not take all the family's deeds, average them out, and then send you to some middle heaven. He is far more generous. God will look at the most righteous member of the family, send him or her to the highest level in paradise, and then unite the family with them. In contrast, the disbeliever won't be joined by anyone in the fire. Each is in his or her own hell, a solitary torment, like solitary confinement in a prison. The adage goes, "Misery loves company." But in hellfire, there is neither comfort from others nor solace in shared suffering. Thus, there are many gardens versus a fire. In fact, Ayah 13 in its entirety is in the plural form, while Ayah 14 is in the singular. But pain alone doesn't capture the punishment, as some people can endure pain stoically to deny the enemy satisfaction. In the hereafter, pain is mixed with humiliation. There's no toughing it out because the punishment is degrading to the core. Surah An-Nisa begins by highlighting the unity of humanity stemming from one father and mother and the many men and women spread from them. It teaches us how to care for orphans with dignity and compassion, guard and grow their wealth, ensuring their rightful treatment until they reach maturity. This is a recurring theme of the surah: preserving human dignity even in hardship. An-Nisa addresses the preservation of dignity for women and children because historically, Arabs denied them inheritance rights and barred those who hadn't fought in battles from inheriting. Allah sought to uplift these marginalized groups, granting them rightful inheritance shares to ensure that people of both genders and all ages live with dignity. After explaining all these rights, God urged anyone who seeks his garden to respect his boundaries and warned others of eternal fire. Life is a divine gift, and in his generosity, Allah furnished everything necessary for decent living before the first humans even existed. You entered a world rich with fertile soil, fresh water, oxygen, beautiful seasons, livestock, resources, minerals, and countless provisions. Allah did not create you first and then supply the sun, moon, earth, and elements afterward. That would have been miserable. Everything was prepared in advance to welcome humanity as God's ambassadors on earth. Do you need any more evidence of God's love? When you were born, Allah filled your parents' hearts with love. They spent many sleepless nights making sure you were comfortable. Here, one might wonder why God would take a parent from a young child. Why are there orphans in this world? We answer that Allah allows loss to emphasize that nothing in life is guaranteed. Each one of us has an unspecified lifespan known only to the Almighty. People die at all stages of life, from within the womb to over 100 years of age. Sometimes grandparents outlive their great-grandchildren. Death and loss ensure that no one becomes overly reliant on their loved ones or worldly means. The only genuine connection is with Allah, the ever-living and the provider. If you live prepared to face death at any moment, you would be mindful not to meet Allah in a state of disobedience. Faith bonds the believers into a strong community, supporting one another like bricks in a wall. If a man dies, leaving children behind, the community steps in as surrogate parents. This brings a sense of security and peace to the orphan's heart. Since Allah called the creation into existence, He guarantees sustenance for everyone, regardless of their faith. The earth yields crops for the believer and disbeliever alike. The sun shines on all, and livestock is subservient even to atheists. Don't you prepare enough food for 5 or 7 when you invite 2 friends over? Similarly, God stored abundant resources on earth to support you, your whole family, and more. Some people work hard and leave enough wealth behind to last for generations. Through Islamic inheritance laws, wealth is fairly distributed among heirs, promoting broad benefit and reducing potential animosity. Allah did not leave inheritance distribution to us. Suppose a man owns 100 acres of farmland, providing the family a very comfortable life. If it were up to him, he would leave his favorite son, who helps him farm 90 acres, and give his wife and the rest of the children only 10. This would surely break the family, cause one child to become rich, bring the others closer to poverty, and spur legal fights that may last for decades. But when the division of wealth is from the Almighty, it is fair and accepted by all. Remember this concept when Allah asks you to help the poor through the zakat almsgiving. Note that the Lord does not command, "Give me my money and provision back." Instead, He says, "I respect your effort, time, and the thought you put into your business. Thus, I will not ask you to give me what I granted. Instead, I will ask you to loan me from what you have earned." Listen to the following ayah. Who will lend God a good loan so He may multiply it for him, and for him is a generous reimbursement? Chapter 57, verse 11. This loan is not for God's use or benefit, but for your fellow human. God will do the same for you if you become in need. Why? Because as the Lord who brought you and others into being, it is His role to ensure sustenance and provision. In another ayah, God says, "The life of this world is only play and distraction, and if you believe and are mindful of God, He will reward you and not ask for your wealth." Chapter 47, verse 36. Allah promises the believers rewards without asking them for their wealth because He knows you and I will hesitate to part with our hard-earned cash. Listen to the next ayah. Should He ask you and press you for it, you would show stinginess, and it will bring out your grudges. Chapter 47, verse 37. When people are forced to surrender their wealth, hatred and resentment surface and wreak havoc throughout the community. Governments and leaders should keep that in mind when they move to nationalize industry and levy heavy taxes. Thus, God established the foundations and means of a dignified life, set safety nets to protect the weak, and assured fair transfer of wealth through inheritance laws. the Almighty set the limits and warned against transgressing them. Next week, we will discuss the other aspects of preserving life, the continuation of the species. Life is limited and will eventually end in death. Thus, there is a necessity to ensure the survival of humankind through sexual relations. Tune in next week to learn about sexual bonds and the Islamic view on same-sex relations.
ومن يعص الله ورسوله ويتعد حدوده يدخله نارا خالدا فيها وله عذاب مهين.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Convey my teachings to the people, even if it is only a single verse." Please take a moment to subscribe and to share with your family and friends. Visit us at www.qurangarden.com.